Good evening. It's good to be together again. I'm glad you're able to make it back tonight. I know a lot of our folks, Jerry, are gone to youth night, but we're glad we got the folks here. And speaking of youth night, next Sunday will be Youth Focus, a chance for us to present a lesson directed towards our young people as well as all ages, but try to involve our youth in the worship and the work of the church. And looking forward to that opportunity. But tonight I would like for you to take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 7. We're going to begin reading with verse 1. Last week we talked about the preacher's pathway. Tonight I want to talk about the disciple's pathway. Because as you know, it's very important to know what we are to do as God's children in walking and living as disciples of Jesus Christ Himself. Interesting occurrence that we have in Mark chapter 7, begins verse 1. We read, "Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to Him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of His disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault." So they see the disciples of Jesus, and the disciples of Jesus do not fit their mold and their understanding. "For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches." Verse 5, "Then the Pharisees and scribes asked Him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?'" The disciples of Jesus do not fit the mold of the traditions of the Jews. And they, of course, the Pharisees, are concerned. And note, and you, as you look at verse 5, the Scripture says, "your disciples." So there's identification. And truly, a disciple is one who identifies. And the identity is that with Christ. "Your disciples." And truly they are Jesus' disciples. They have made a conscious choice that they are going to follow Jesus Christ. And of course, He provides the way for them to follow. That's why Matthew 28 Verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority," nothing missing there, "all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." Then He says, verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples." If you have the King James, you'll probably see the word teach. Go make disciples. And of course, disciples are made by teaching. "Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you," Jesus says. "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end." So clearly, as you look at Matthew 28, you have the authority of Christ established. It's by His authority that disciples walk. And it's by His authority that disciples are made. It's by His authority that men and women are baptized into Christ, those who have been made disciples. And that might be a little difficult sometimes for us to comprehend. What do we mean, making disciples? Well, of course, we are told there that they are to go, teach, make disciples, baptize them that are taught, and then continue to teach them all things as they're commanded by Christ. And that is essential to understand. When you look at that word that's translated there, "make disciples," it's a verb. And that's why it's an action word, of course. To make a disciple, it means to do that. To make someone a disciple, to follow someone else. And of course, in this case, it's a disciple of Christ. And so, they're to go, they're to teach in order to make a pupil or a learner after the commandments of Christ. It's interesting also, as you look at the English word, that we have the word disciple. It comes from a Latin word. And it simply means a pupil or learner that requires teaching. So clearly, if you look at the King James, you compare that to others who say make disciples, you can see how teaching has to be involved. You can't have a disciple without that disciple being taught. But the reason that you see that translated make disciples is because there's more involved in the word than just teaching. As you look at Acts 14, verse 21, the word is used. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. What does it mean, make disciples? Well, in the ancient world, a disciple was one who had made a conscious choice to be a follower or one who would adhere to the teachings of a teacher. And it's really not the same as being a student in the modern sense, but it's one who has decided to follow the teacher. A disciple in the ancient biblical world actively imitated both the life and the teaching of the master. In other words, those who became disciples made a conscious choice to take upon themselves an apprenticeship, so to speak, so that they could be a follower, a disciple of the teacher, or to be a copy of their master. And that's significant when you consider that we are to be a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting in Matthew 4 that we read that Jesus was walking by the sea, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen, and he says to them, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." Jesus is going to change their profession. They were fishers. Now they're going to become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets. And notice what Scripture says. They followed him. And that's what a disciple does when he decides to follow the teacher. In the first century Jewish world, a disciple was one who learned and trained from a teacher, or what they called a rabbi. And you see that word used in the New Testament. And also, it's important to note that that word is a word that differs from an apostle. Now, the disciples became apostles, but there were disciples besides apostles, and that's important to take note of. In Acts 19, verse 9, we see how the word was used in the ancient Greek world, because in that world, disciples learned by imitating the teacher, and oftentimes those teachers were philosophers. They were Greek philosophers. And what they would do, they would learn from these teachers. And they would learn their way of life. And not just remembering the words spoken, but also to imitate their lives. And so the word was consistent across the board. And as you look at Acts 19 in verse 9, some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude. Then it says, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years. And so here was a school, and it was both a place where they could be students, but also they could learn from the teacher. And of course, what happens here? They continued there for 2 years. Paul was successful, and they heard the word. And that was essential. And clearly, to follow as a disciple of Christ is to follow after the word. And it's important to understand that a disciple of Christ is exactly that, a disciple of Christ. Some years ago, there was movements called the Crossroad Movement or the Boston Movement. And they put a great emphasis upon discipleship. And in essence, they were talking about mentoring. And the idea was that you would take somebody and you would mentor them to become like you. There's a problem with that. I was not sent into the world for folks to become like me, was I? I was sent into the world for folks to become like Christ. And when we talk about a disciple, making disciples, we're making students, learners of Jesus Christ. They learn of Christ. They follow Jesus. Paul said, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." Even with Paul, the focus was Jesus Christ. He says, "I'm nothing without Jesus Christ." And it's sad when people get the idea that discipleship is making somebody like themselves. That's not what it's about. It's making folks like Christ. And how's that done? By teaching His Word. It's interesting, Acts 11, verse 26. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Who's called Christians? disciples. Why were they called Christians? Because they were followers of Christ. Not of some man, but of Christ. As you look back through time, you see certain men who make their appearance on the scene. They get into the news, like David Koresh and others, who create their own disciples. And so they have people follow after themselves and their teaching. Unfortunately, it's not the teaching of Christ. Those people end up with a definition called cult. And the reason it's a cult is because man has created a following of himself, and unfortunately not with Christ. Those in the first century that made it their desire to be a disciple were those who were following Jesus Christ. And those people, those disciples, were called Christians. But tonight the lesson is focusing upon the pathway. And when you think about a pathway, what happens on a pathway? You walk down a pathway. I know that's confusing sometimes for us because we park in driveways and drive on parkways. Go figure that one out. But the pathway is the way we walk. And it's interesting in Mark chapter 7 and verse 5 that the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to tradition of elders?" Well, we know the answer to that question, don't we? They chose to walk after Jesus and His commandments. In Mark 8, verse 27, we read about Jesus and His disciples, and they went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi and on the road. Jesus then has the opportunity to speak to His disciples. And He asks His disciples, saying to them, "Who do men say that I am?" Today, if you go up to Jerusalem in that area, you'll still be able to take walks with teachers or rabbis. And when they go on their walks, these rabbis teach those who follow. Literally, they walk and they're taught. And so it's not an unusual thing to read about Jesus being on the road with His disciples walking, and there He takes the opportunity to teach them. Because that was very common for the teacher, to have disciples follow Him wherever He goes. And that's what we read, isn't it? As we look at the gospel, disciples are following Christ. He's teaching them over a period of time, preparing them for the work that they will do after He leaves them. And so the disciples are those who walk after Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 36, we read an interesting passage of Scripture referring to John the Baptist. And looking at Jesus as He walked, he, John the Baptist, said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Then verse 37, we read, "Then two disciples heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus." Verse 38, "Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, 'Who do you seek?' And they said to Him, 'Rabbi,'" which is to say, or which is translated, teacher. There's that word. When they learn that this is Jesus, they decide to change teachers. Because here's Jesus. And that's what happens when a person is taught who Jesus is. And they understand. And they believe it. What are they going to do? They decide to become a disciple that follows Jesus. He is now the one to whom they go to learn. And of course, that's where we go, isn't it? Because we're Christians, and hopefully we all are. In Matthew 23, verse 8, "But you do not be called rabbi," Jesus said, "for one is your teacher." Clearly, we are not the person that people follow. Preachers are not to be the ones that creates the following. It's Christ. And a preacher is just a messenger to bring forth the Word of God so people can follow Jesus, become His disciple. In fact, again, Jesus said, "Do not be called rabbi," talking about that teacher. For one, He points out, is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. So there is who we follow. "Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father. He who is in heaven." And then He goes on, "And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ." Now here in the congregation, we have teachers, don't we?
This morning, Randy taught in the Bible class. He was a teacher. And we call him a teacher. But what's Jesus telling us? He's saying you don't pick out a man and you don't become the one that people follow. The one who has disciples is Jesus, isn't he? He's the one whom we follow. We walk after him because we walk according to Christ's teaching. Back to Mark 7, verse 5. They come to Jesus. Your disciples do not walk according to the tradition of the elders. Of course they don't. They're walking after Christ's teachings. And that's essential. Because Jesus said in John 8 and verse 31, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Do you see the importance of the real teacher? The true teacher? If we become disciples of Christ, we follow him. He's the one who is the teacher. Those who preach and teach are simply bringing forth the words of God. They're mouthpieces. They're spokesmen for the word. And when you think about the word that Christ spoke, it was amazing. I wish we had time tonight just to look at some of the sayings that we have in the Gospels about Christ and his teaching. But to sum it up, Mark 10, verse 24, and the disciples were astonished at his words. Jesus was truly the master teacher. He was the one who was qualified. He was the one who was worthy of having the disciples who followed after him. Wouldn't it have been wonderful, Bob, to have been back there in the first century to walk the roads with Christ, to hear his teaching? Well, we can't do that because that's a long time ago. We do not have time machines. But we can through the Word, can't we? When we read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, we read of Christ. We learn of him. We learn of what he wants from us and how we are to walk with him. In Mark 7, verse 14, Scripture reads, when he had called a multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. And that's the beauty of the master teacher, Jesus. He was able to bring understanding to those who wanted to learn, to those who wanted to be his disciples. And understanding is extremely essential. Unfortunately, when the multitudes would gather for Christ, many wouldn't understand because they were more physically minded than spiritually minded. And that was, of course, in itself a problem. But Jesus wanted to bring understanding. That's why he walked the roads with his disciples. And then what was the result of that? As we get down to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 6. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. That was the purpose of the master teacher. Having the disciples who walked with him so that they would understand what it meant to follow the teachers. Because to follow the teacher is to follow Christ. And ultimately we do become like the teacher. But it's not a man. God never wanted us to follow after any men. In fact, remember what Paul did with the Ephesians elders? He warned them that some would arise and draw away disciples after them. That's not what God wanted. What he wants is for us to be like Christ, to follow him, to walk as he walked, to be like he was. Luke chapter 6, verse 40, a disciple is not above his teacher, and everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. You see, a disciple is more than just somebody that's a student. It's a committed learner. It's those who are in the apprenticeship of Jesus. Why? Because there's training. This book changes our lives. When we follow the master teacher, his life touches our life. When we read about the things that he did, our hearts are changed. And that's what discipleship is about. It's the training that goes along with the life that we have as we decide to follow him. In Luke chapter 9, verse 57, we read these words. It happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. The disciples hear the words of Jesus. The apostles take up the charge, going into all the world. And they go to make disciples. They go to make a difference in the lives of people, because those people who become His disciples will be those who decide to follow Jesus. And that is what a disciple is all about. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. Isn't it kind of neat to watch Grandpa and his little bitty grandson once in a while? Have you ever noticed how it goes? Grandpa walks, and then the little one's imitating. We got a picture of Sam Bunn, his Kathy's sister's little boy, when he was out on the farm in a pair of big old black boots. Great picture. And in that picture, he's actually over at our house at the time, but he's following Grandpa. And walking just like him. Because he wants to be like Grandpa. And it's neat to watch little kids as they want to be like Dad, like Grandpa. When we become a Christian, who do we want to be like? Like Jesus. He's the one that makes our life different. He's the one who touches our heart. He is the one to whom we yield to walk after, so that we can become more and more like Him. And He says in 1 John 2 that we actually have a debt. And most of the time we don't think about that, but when you look at the Word, He says, He who abides in Him ought. And that word ought is not like we use it today. I think, oh, I ought to go to the store, but I don't have to. Or I ought to do laundry, but I don't have to today. Well, I ought to get that done, but it'll wait. No, the word ought, as it's used in the Scripture, is a word with a totally different meaning. It refers to being obligated, a legal obligation, to mean an obligation, to the point of that it was used in the secular world as to mean paying off a legitimate debt. So it means I owe. When you look at the Scripture, he who says he abides in Him owes himself also a debt to walk as He walked. That's a debt we have as a disciple, to follow after the teacher. How many of us really think about every day it being that walk after Christ? In 3 John verse 2, we read, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Then in verse 3, "For I rejoice greatly." Rejoicing greatly, why? "When brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. For I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Think about Jesus. Walking as that teacher and disciples following. That is our life as a Christian. And why is it important? Revelation 3 verse 4 tells us, speaking of those in Sardis, "who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me," Jesus says, "in white, for they are worthy." You see, when we make the choice to be a disciple here and walk with Christ, we've got a hope and promise. It's like what we talked about this morning. We have a hope of eternal life with Christ. We have a place reserved. And who's it for? It's for those who choose to walk. Because only in Christ can we be worthy. 1 John 1, verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But," verse 7, "if we walk in the light, as He is in the light." When you think about light, who's light? Christ. He brought light to the world. He showed us what righteousness is all about. He brought to view grace, forgiveness of sins, and responsibility to live walking after Him. And so because of that, we can walk in the light. And what do we have? Fellowship with one another. And then the promise that the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. When you think about the pathway of the disciple, here it is: to walk in the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. because therein is hope. And we want that hope. Tonight, I hope you have it. As you consider the disciples' pathway, think about it. It starts with learning of Jesus. And then that brings about a commitment to follow Jesus, to be His disciple, the willingness to be baptized for remission of sins, and then to walk in the life following Christ. Learning and learning and growing in Christ. Following the master teacher. Not man, not some human being that says, here's the way you do it. You follow Christ. Because He's the one that's going to provide eternity in heaven. Are you prepared as His disciple? And maybe tonight you're here and you're not yet a disciple of Christ. You've not yet chosen to follow Jesus. Is it time for you to take a walk? It might start with a walk down the aisle, but it's a walk for the rest of your life. That's what a disciple is, walking with Christ daily, day after day. Why not make the right decision tonight? We're going to stand, we're going to sing an invitation song. Why not take that first step to walk with Jesus? He's waiting for you. As we stand and sing, would you come?